Hello and welcome to the Lake Set Podcast, and today I'll be covering Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery. The character of Austin Powers was the brainchild of the man who played him, Saturday Night Live alum Mike Myers. Myers conceptualized the character after his father died in 1991. Myers thought about his father's influence on him, as well as some of the things Myers himself was a fan of as a child. Myers was born in Canada. His parents, though, are natives of Liverpool, England, and Myers does hold dual citizenship in both countries. Austin Powers is a tribute to his father and is mostly a James Bond parody, a series of films that was beloved in the Myers house, with influences from the Beatles and 1960s British culture. The movie was written by Mike Myers in 1995. Myers then sent the script to the film's eventual director, Jay Roach, who provided Myers with some of his opinions, which Myers liked. New Line Cinema optioned the film, however, Myers had to pitch hard to New Line founder and occasional aspiring actor, our pal, Bob Shea. New Line president Mike DeLuca has said in interviews since the movie came out that it was really Roach's vision that landed him the job. The film stars Myers as Austin Powers, of course, and as Austin Powers' nemesis, Dr. Evil. Jim Carrey was in talks to play Dr. Evil, but couldn't due to his commitments to the film Liar Liar. Elizabeth Hurley also stars as Vanessa Kensington. Robert Wagner plays number two, Dr. Evil's second in command. Seth Green plays Scott Evil, Dr. Evil's son. Mindy Sterling as Frau Farbissina. Michael York as Basil Exposition. Fabina Udino as Alotta Vagina with an F. Will Ferrell as Mustafa. Mimi Rogers plays Mrs. Kensington. Joe's son is Random Task. Michael McDonald is Henchman Steve. Elijah Baskin, no relation to Carol, as General Borchevsky. Paul Dillon as Patty O'Brien. Charles Napier as Commander Gilmore, and Larry Thomas as a blackjack dealer. And we also have cameos from Carrie Fisher and Tom Arnold. Suzanne Todd, Jennifer Todd, Mike Myers, and Demi Moore, yes, that Demi Moore, were producers on the film. George Clinton provided the music. The song Soul Bossa Nova from Quincy Jones was also used in the film. Most of the film was shot in L.A., besides the Vegas scenes, which were filmed in Vegas. Austin Powers' International Man of Mystery was released May 2, 1997, and was a moderate box office hit, making $67.7 million against a $16.5 million budget. Now that we have the background, let's get into the meat of the matter. We open up with Dr. Evil outside of Vegas in 1967, meeting with a group of assassins who have all failed to kill Austin Powers. Dr. Evil is stroking his pussy cat. Anywho, he is pissed and he hits some buttons, causing his guests to fall into a pit of fire, killing them. He spares Mustafa and Frau Farbissina so they can help him kill Powers. We cut to Austin Powers dancing like a jackass down the London streets. The main theme plays over the opening credits as he flirts with some women. He is evidently so irresistible that he has to run away and try and hide from his admirers. Then he comes back with a marching band and dances some more, like a douche. And finally, Mrs. Kensington picks him up in a car that has the Union Jack paint job. He flirts with her despite her being married. They have a 1960s version of a FaceTime call that comes in from British intelligence agent Basil Exposition, warning of a trap Dr. Evil is planning at the Electric Psychedelic Pussycat Swingers Club. Later that night, Austin and Kensington show up and party down. Austin takes out a waitress by a punch to the face, and he removes her disguise to reveal it's a man. One of Dr. Evil's assassins, no less. He gets him up to confront him, only for Mrs. Kensington to beat his ass real quick. As Austin starts to interrogate the man, he is hit with an arrow shot by Dr. Evil, no doubt killing him. Austin and Mrs. Kensington pursue Dr. Evil up the stairs. However, before they can apprehend him, Dr. Evil shuts himself into a cryogenic freezing pod to freeze himself. A movie with cryogenic freezing automatically gains a half a star for me because it's something I have a slight fascination with. Austin and Kensington shoot at it, but it is attached to a rocket that is in the shape of the Big Boy Burger logo, and it takes off into orbit, into outer space. With a narrator telling us Dr. Evil would return at a time when greed and corruption would rule again. He's not all about the free-loving 60s as it is. We then cut to 1997, and the rocket starts falling out of orbit. The team at a base in Colorado Springs inform Commander Gilmore of the bogey free-falling back to Earth. Gilmore orders the man calling him to forget what he saw, and Gilmore heads to London, England. Gilmore goes to the Ministry of Defense to wake up Austin Powers, who volunteered to be frozen in case Dr. Evil ever returned. We see some celebrities frozen in the vault, including Gary Coleman and Vanilla Ice. Has-beens, I guess you could say, of the 90s. They start to thaw Powers, who has his hand over his cock, no doubt self-conscious about shrinkage. They put him in warm liquid goo and reanimate him. Some suppose a comedy of him being showered on a conveyor and a ridiculously long piss with him stopping and restarting several times. They start to inform Austin that it's 1997, and he is quite taken aback by a Russian official being there, as the Cold War was going on when he was frozen. He is screaming because it is a side effect of his reanimation. Austin is pleased when he thinks he will be working with Mrs. Kensington again, but is even more pleased, especially in the crotchal region, when he sees it's her daughter, Vanessa, that he will be working with. Her job is to acclimate him to the 1990s. He protests, saying as long as people are still having bareback sex with many anonymous partners and experimenting with mind-expanding drugs, he will be okay. Needless to say, he's in for some disappointment. He is given his personal effects. Among those are his blue velvet suit, Italian leather shoes, a necklace with a male medallion, just in case he forgot, I guess, a record, and finally, a Swedish penis enlarger pump. And he tries to deny it as Vanessa's standing by him, but the guard pulls out a credit card receipt, a warranty, and finally a book about the pump written by Powers with his face on the cover. Vanessa orders Austin to quit calling her baby, which he agrees to do. However, he doesn't. They take off for Austin's old private jet, and we get some weird scene meant to be a transition, I guess, that has Austin with the fictional band Ming T, and they jump and smile weirdly before we cut to the desert outside of Las Vegas. I think originally when Myers created Powers, he was meant to be the lead singer of this Ming T band. It's there we see Dr. Evil with Mustafa and Frau Farbissina, along with a couple of others. Dr. Evil is pissed that his beloved cat, Mr. Bigglesworth, lost all his hair during the reanimation, so Mustafa is sent down to the fire pit. This is the first time we see Dr. Evil's face, and as he tries to give his spiel, Mustafa is in agony yelling out and such as the pit has failed to kill him. We get some more supposed comedy with Evil calling one of his henchmen to kill Mustafa, but the idiot only shoots him in the arm. He eventually gets the job done. Dr. Evil then introduces us to his evil cabinet, Frau, I don't know how the fuck you pronounce it, Farbissina, Random Task, an obvious homage to Oddjob from James Bond, Patty O'Brien at number 2, who ran Dr. Evil's legitimate business, VirtueCon. Number 2 gives Dr. Evil the rundown of what has happened with his business in the last 30 years. Dr. Evil's plan is to blackmail the royal family into thinking Prince Charles is having an affair and he would have to divorce. Number 2 informs him this has already happened. Dr. Evil seems a little frustrated to be 30 years behind, and his associates are doing a shitty job of catching him up. His next plan is to use a laser he invented to punch a hole into the ozone layer. Number 2 informs him that this has also happened. So Evil resorts to the good old trusty let's steal a nuclear weapon and hold the world hostage for the hefty price of $1 million. Number 2 informs him that $1 million isn't a whole lot of money these days, and his legitimate business is worth up to $9 billion. So Dr. Evil looks at the camera and ups his price to $100 billion. So there's that. This scene wasn't terrible, and some of the comedy did work for me here, better than most of the stuff featuring Austin so far. And another thing is this movie does a lot of breaking of the fourth wall with the characters looking directly at the camera and acknowledging the audience, but acknowledging what's going on. Speaking of the dickbag Powers, we cut to his tie-dye private jet. Austin fills out some forms, sexually harassing Vanessa in the process. He goes on to a spinning bed, repeatedly asking Vanessa if he makes her horny. No. She finally scolds him, saying she wouldn't have sex with him if he was the last man on Earth. So it's safe to say they're probably going to fuck later. Frau tells Dr. Evil back at his lair that they took his frozen semen and created a son because it looked like he would never return. Scott Evil then comes in wearing a Kurt Cobain t-shirt and has all the angst of a typical Gen Xer of the time. Dr. Evil tries to show his son he is hip by doing the Macarena. He caught up to that pretty quick. Evil attempts to hug Scott. As Scott tries to run away, he tells his father he hates him and all that type of lovely shit teenagers do. We cut to the bright lights of Vegas. Austin and Vanessa check into a hotel where they are undercover as a married couple. Which you would think be hard considering Austin looks like he just stepped off the cover of the Beatles' Sgt. Pepper's record. After some more things Austin could definitely get into trouble for these days, Vanessa and him head to the casino. Things he could get in trouble for, sexual harassment, those type of things. Just shit that he says. That he could get in trouble for. On the way to the casino, she informs him of VirtueCon, and then she spots number 2 sitting at a table. Vanessa knows him to be an executive with the company, and the two join him in the game of blackjack. Number 2 gets 17, but it turns out his eye patch has X-ray vision, and he sees the next card is a 4, so he hits 21 exactly. Austin gets 5, but stays and loses the hand because he's an idiot. Number 2 introduces the woman with him, a lot of vagina. Austin tails number 2 when he leaves the table while Vanessa stays with vagina. Austin goes to the bathroom, and after some more comedy with a blind bathroom attendant and a Texan, Austin sits down to take a shit. But the wall opens behind him and O'Brien, one of Dr. Evil's assassins, goes to strangle him with a charm bracelet it looks like he got from Claire's. A struggle ensues and the Texan thinks Austin is taking a shit, saying things like, "That'll be alright, buddy, just get her out of there," just fucking stupid shit. Nobody talks to each other in the shitter. Austin gets the upper hand and he drowns O'Brien in the toilet. Another cutscene of Austin dancing with the band. We see Dr. Evil telling the United Nations that he stole their nuclear missile. He names his original $1 million price, to which they all laugh at him. So then he goes with the second option, $100 billion, and after one of the world leaders refuses to negotiate, he hangs up on them. He and his evil cabinet have an obnoxious laugh about it. Vanessa phones her mom, who has, or her mum, who miraculously hasn't aged at all in the last 30 years since she was Austin's partner. Her mom gets wet for Austin all over again while talking about him, and we get more comedy with Austin waking up, walking around, and being naked, but something is always conveniently covering his centimeter Peter so we can't see it. Thank fuck. We then go to VirtueCon headquarters, where Austin and Vanessa are staking the place out. Austin recognizes Dr. Evil's cat that Random Task is carrying, despite it had hair last time he saw it, and now it doesn't. Whatever. This whole scene here is just a setup for Austin to take Vanessa out for a night on the town, after he flatters her a little with some light sexual harassing, nothing too big. We cut to Austin introducing Bert Bacharach, singing to them while they are ride down a double-decker through the streets of Las Vegas. Some montages of Caesar's Palace and them gambling or whatever the fuck they were doing. Then we see them playing Twister, making all kinds of sex noises. You kind of hear the grunts and shit before you see them, and then the camera pans over the couch and you see the Twister. Austin does more funny stuff, I guess, making the obviously intoxicated Vanessa geek out. Standing behind the couch saying he's going downstairs and walking downstairs, or making it looking like he's on an escalator in an elevator. Just kiddie humor. She makes a pass at Austin, and he actually has the redeeming quality of not wanting to take advantage of the drunk woman. She asks Austin to tell her about her mother in the 60s, and he does. He has some sadness that he didn't wind up with her. Vanessa passed out right in the middle of his ruminations, and her laptop starts ringing. Austin answers this 1990s proto-era Skype call, and it's his old pal Basil telling him to find out about Project Vulcan. Austin heads to A Lot of Vagina's penthouse to do some recon. He takes some photographs of a folder he found, and he is suddenly interrupted by Vagina. He hears her coming in, and he sits in a chair, so when she opens the door to the room he's in, he's just sitting there. Austin hits on her. She goes to change, as the two are seducing each other. She disrobes and gets into a hot tub. He undresses and joins her. She washes his back, and while she does, she looks in his jacket and finds a business card with his real name in it. I don't know if you're supposed to be a spy, why you'd carry something with your actual name, but whatever. He had told her when they met in the casino that his name was Mr. Cunningham. She gives him some sake, and he appears to get woozy. And it appears they start having sex before we cut to Dr. Evil's lair. Frau unveils fembots, robots made up to be hot-looking women with guns coming out of their breasts. Frau calls in some guards, and the fembots shoot them with their tick guns. The next morning, Austin and Vanessa head to a makeshift headquarters. She gives him a spy watch and tries to give him some dental supplies, which he mistakes for more spy gear, but really she is just tired of looking at his shitty teeth. Basil warns Austin of Dr. Evil's plans with the missing nuke. Austin presents Basil with the photographs he took the previous night at A Lot of Vagina's penthouse. Basil seems upset at this, or Vanessa seems upset at this rather, but shakes it off and tells Basil her and Austin will pose as tourists to take a tour of VirtueCon. Basil introduces Austin to his mother, and Austin responds by punching her in the face and trying to tear her hair out, insisting she is a spy. She is not. Basil is quite upset, and this might be the first actual funny thing Austin Powers did in this fucking movie. As you can tell, I'm not really a fan thus far. Cut to Dr. Evil and Scott in a group therapy session for fathers and sons. Dr. Evil recounts his interesting childhood to the horror of everyone in the group. German father, prostitute mother, just random wacky shit. Vanessa tries to give a heartfelt speech to Austin about her being jealous, and he gleefully tells her he shagged Vagina. She is repulsed, and he drives through Vegas sad. A group of young people laugh at the way he is dressed, and they laugh even harder when he flashes a peace sign at them. He returns to the hotel dejected and makes a list of people he knew that are dead, including Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin. He tries to listen to a CD and a record player and watches important moments he missed, like the moon landing and the fall of the Berlin Wall. He is also flabbergasted that Liberace is gay, or was gay. Cut to VirtueCon headquarters. Austin and Vanessa are dressed up quite interesting while she continues to ask about Vagina. When they get to a restricted area, the pair shimmy off the cart and take out two of the workers they see going into the bathroom. Steal their clothes and credentials. The alarm is sounded when the tour guide realizes two people from his group are missing. They take out some security guards. They take out one where they're on one of those big machine roller things driving it. The guy's standing at least half a football field away screaming no, and he doesn't move, so they fucking ran him over. They accidentally start down a hallway, but they are taken out by Random Task. They're taken to Dr. Evil's lair, and Dr. Evil video chats with the UN and unveils his plan to dig into the Earth's core and to drop the nuke down, causing every volcano on Earth to erupt. Evil has Austin join him and his cohorts for dinner, for whatever reason. Evil introduces Scott to Austin, telling him it's his arch nemesis, and he tells all his guests and Scott of his plan to kill Austin and Vanessa. Dr. Evil plans to submerge them in a tank with mutated sea bass to kill them. They're taken to this area and the platform goes down very, very, very slowly, and Austin and Vanessa recreate a scene from Star Wars and they use dental floss to wrap around a pipe and swing off the platform. Austin puts the guard headfirst into the water after temporarily blinding him with some toothpaste, and when he pulls him back up, his head is missing. He makes some bad head puns before the pair escape. He doesn't have a good head on his shoulders. He can never get a head. Bullshit like that. Austin sends Vanessa to get help while he stays and watches Dr. Evil. He professes his love for her before she escapes, and I can't wait for this movie to be over. Cut back to Dr. Evil, who is making the final preparations for Project Vulcan. Austin is cut off by the fembots who seduce him. We get a weird little dance scene that causes the fembots to malfunction. He strips down, dancing, saying they can't resist his mojo and whatever. He clumsily explains this to Vanessa, who sees him in his underwear dancing like an idiot. And Vanessa believes him because, well, she's an idiot. And they go off to stop Dr. Evil. I mean, Austin wasn't lying, but the fuck. The drilling had started as Austin, Vanessa, and some soldiers burst through the door and a shootout ensues. Dr. Evil escapes through a door. Austin manages to stop the drill just in the nick of time, and he goes after Dr. Evil. Austin has him beat at gunpoint when suddenly Vagina comes in holding Vanessa hostage. Austin grabs Scott, who came in, and Evil just tells Austin to kill him, causing Scott to get out of Austin's grip and just run away. It's a reoccurring theme. Whenever Scott was sitting in one of the chairs earlier, Dr. Evil went to push the button to drop him into the pit of fire, but Frau smacked him so with a little thing she had so he wouldn't do it. And I don't remember, but I I want to say maybe she's his mother, but I don't really, 'cause they say he was born in a laboratory, but I thought maybe in one of the later movies they actually said she was his mother, but I could be wrong. I mean, I probably am. Who the fuck know? Who could care anyway? It's been 20 years since I've seen any of these movies. Well, except Goldmember. But Vagina comes in holding Vanessa hostage, and Austin does a thing with Scott, and Number Two enters, and he turns on Dr. Evil. So, Dr. Evil opens the door to the fire pit that Number Two is standing close to, causing him to fall into it. Evil makes a run and gets into his cryo chamber as the underground lair explodes. Austin and Vanessa make it to his car as the lair explodes and make their getaway. Some more comedy with when he flips into the car, he hits his nuts on the gear shift, and then she goes to shift it and pulls it back, hitting him in the nuts even harder. Comedy. Ha ha. Flash forward to 3 months later. Vanessa and Austin are married and in a honeymoon suite. Basil calls and makes some small talk and tells Austin he has to be knighted. And this is some more shit, only this time Vanessa's naked and Austin's holding melons in front of her tits and cantaloupes and pineapple and it's just the worst. Random Task shows up and throws a shoe at Austin's head. He did this earlier when Random Task was showing the evil cabinet what he could do. He threw a shoe and it knocked the head off a statue, but when he throws a shoe at Austin, it just hits him in the head. They brawl for a minute, and Random Task has Austin up against the wall and is choking him. So Austin uses the penis pump, puts it over Random Task's penis on the outside to. Starts pumping it up to distract him, and Vanessa knocks him out with a champagne bottle. They wheel him down the hall on the 'cause he came in as disguised as room service, and they put him on the cart and just wheel him out of there. The pair go out to the balcony and look at the stars, and they see a bright one going across the night sky. We zoom in on it, and it's Dr. Evil vowing revenge on Austin, and the movie ends, thank God. Positives, peak Elizabeth Hurley. Negatives, I don't find it very funny by today's standards. It felt long, tedious, and boring. And most of the so-called comedy is cringeworthy at worst, but outdated at best. Overall, this movie was like I said, a modest hit, and it has a loyal group of fans. I feel kind of bad for shitting on it, but I don't find Harley anything redeeming about it and couldn't wait for it to end. I believe this movie benefited greatly from the spoof boom in the mid to late 90s made popular by Scream. We will see how the second one holds up. Join me next week to see if The Spy Who Shagged Me is any better than this horseshit, because let's face it can't get any worse.